Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The 1865 Match Report.
Hello and welcome to the 1865 Match Report. As Forest move to within a point of the top six in the Championship with a 3-1 win over playoff rivals Queen's Park Rangers at the City Ground. On a rainy and wet night where there was a pitch inspection before the game and at one point possibly even a risk that the match wouldn't go ahead. Thankfully it did, and Forest turned up and put in a brilliant second half display to turn over QPR and to give their playoff hopes an even bigger boost as we move ever closer to the end of the season and the all-important run-in. I'm joined by Tom Newton to reflect on the game. Tom, we'll start with the team news and two changes for Forest, which we knew would happen anyway. So the injured pair, Steve Cook and Max Lowe, both out for 6 weeks after picking up injuries in the last game against Millwall. They were replaced in the starting 11 by Tobias Figueiredo and Philip Zinchenogle, which meant that Jack Colback took Max Lowe's place on the left-hand side at wing-back, and Figueiredo slotted into centre-back alongside Joe Worrell and Scott McKenna, with James Garner and Ryan Yates in the middle. So were you surprised with that team selection? Is that what you were expecting? And how did you see that play out, certainly in the first half?
I was surprised in terms of Zinchenogle coming back in, because the last time I saw him play was the Sheffield United game away, and I thought he did not a lot, to be honest, apart from his brilliant tracking back to put in the challenge. But apart from that, in an attacking sense, he didn't do anything. So I was a bit surprised to see him in. We always knew that Figueiredo was going to play centre-half in Steve Cook's absence. And I think I would like to see Richie Larea come in, just see what he's all about. But for whatever reason, he hasn't got on the pitch yet. So, yeah, the safe choice was putting Jack Colback at left wing back. He's played there before. He played in the game against Arsenal in the FA Cup, and he didn't let us down. So, but apart from, Zinchenogle coming in, I think the team at the moment just picks itself. And Horvat kept his place in the team because since he's come in, he hasn't let anybody down. So yeah, it picks itself at the moment, to be honest.
And in the opening stages of the game, QPR were on top and they created the better chances, forcing Horvath into a good save one-on-one. Ball played through, but the player was offside, so he shot straight at Horvath. I still think it was a good save nevertheless, even though the goal wouldn't have counted. Horvath was then called into action again later on with the ball that was played across, and then he made the stop on the line as he was coming back across goal to keep the score at 0-0. But QPR eventually did go a goal in front. We'll come on to that, because in that first half, Forest did have some chances of their own, and it it felt like it almost wasn't going to be their night at one point, because you had Ryan Yates with a chance, which, to be fair to David Marshall, he came out and smothered it well, stopped Yates having the time to place his header where he wanted it. Yates then almost got on the end of a cross. I think it might have been from Zinkernagel, correct me if I'm wrong, at the back post, and at full stretch just couldn't quite divert it on goal, and that one went begging. And then Keenan Davis also poking wide after a Zinkernagel shot was parried by Marshall. Forest did come close, didn't they? And it did feel as if it could well have been one of those nights at that point.
Yeah, I thought as the game started, I thought QPR were the better side then. Forest got a foothold in the game. Then I just felt it was against the run of play, to be honest, when they actually scored. I thought, oh, Forest have like come in the last, 10 minutes previous, well, before the QPR scored, I thought Forest were like had a couple of chances and were really turning the screw. And I thought it was going to be only a matter of time until Forest scored. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. And they scored, I think it was Andre Gray who scored. And I thought Forest were decent then. But yeah, I think it was just a matter of like getting it half time, 1-0, and regroup. And then and that's what basically happened.
Yeah. And just on the goal, it's the ball played through initially by Elias Che. It was a decent ball through, but Andre Gray got onto the end of it. I think Worrell and Figueiredo were not entirely sure where each other was, and Figueiredo was the man following Gray, but he slipped over, I think, in the poor conditions and lost his footing. Gray was away and from an acute angle just managed to fire it between Horvath's legs, and that was 1-0. A disappointing goal to concede. I think we can cut Toby a bit of slack there, because I think it was just a slip on the wet surface that allowed Gray to get away from him as he fell over. Coming into the second half then, Forest were back out on the front foot, weren't they? Aside from the first minute where QPR had a free kick, it was all one-way traffic after that point, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a telling fact. Apart from that block through kick straight after the come out for the second half, it was all Forest. And to pin a playoff rival in their own half for that long, it's a massive part, I thought, of the game tonight. And to do that to a potential top six side, I think it's just really telling how far this team's come under Steve Cooper. And at the moment, they're just a joy to watch. And I think, well, I'm 34 now, and hand on heart, I think this side of the entertainment, etc., how much the pride they're giving, how much pride the supporters have in watching this team, I think it's the best I've ever seen. Under Frank Clark's team in the mid-90s, you still had some players there from the Cluffy era, in terms of Mark Crosley and Stuart Pearce, etc., with like Baheen and Roy and Collymore on top. But so that there was a bit more of an expectation because of where we've been in previous seasons. Then we obviously had Dave Bassett's team for like a year, then Paul Hart's brilliant team in the early noughties. But this team, I just think this is just an absolute different sense of feeling watching this team. And the City Ground's full every single week. Away allocations are snapped up in quick time. And yeah, hand on heart, this is the most entertained I've seen a Forest side in since I've been supporting them. And I've been a season ticket holder for 20 plus years now. So it's just absolutely brilliant to watch, and may it continue.
Our own Rich Ferraro in our WhatsApp group tonight said that it was a great comeback from Forest and a belting game of Championship football. Would you say that performance was as good as we've seen under Steve Cooper so far?
Possibly. In the circumstances of and the conditions, because it wasn't the easiest game of football to play tonight because of the conditions of the torrential rain and everything. But how they come out of that second half and QPR never laid a glove on is Horvath's not had one save to make all second half, and they didn't have any answer to how slick passing and movement, and obviously the three goals what followed. So yeah, Forest were fantastic tonight.
Talk us through the equaliser then, and the goal which really got Forest going. Jed Spence is just unbelievable. Is there anything this guy can't do? He's incredible.
He's brilliant, isn't he? Every single game, he just seems to be improving and improving. And yeah, when the ball got played to him, I think it was Zinchenko who gave him the ball. And as soon as it left his boot, that was our run into a top corner. I was in Upper Bridgford, and yeah, as soon as it left his foot, that was in. And when I've looked back on a replay, he's further out than I thought he was. And yeah, it's just a brilliant goal. And David Marshall, I don't think he's enjoyed tonight because obviously he went off injured, but that's a great strike, and no keeper in the world's saving that.
And if you haven't seen it already, I would recommend seeking out the replay from behind the goal, looking towards where Spence is striking it, because you see everything there, the pace, the dip and the swerve on it. It's a fantastic strike. And that goal was just what Forest needed, just to get the team going, to pick themselves up and really kick on in that second half.
Yeah, potentially it could have been one of those nights tonight where we've had the ball, a bit like the Huddersfield game just after Christmas, had all the ball, made numerous chances, and obviously not got rewards for it tonight. But yeah, as soon as that went in, the whole place lit up, and the players, I think they raised another 10-20% in their performances, because it just cheered everybody up. And as soon as that goal went in, it was all Forest, and it was just going to be a matter of time before Forest got the second goal, which duly come. And then obviously the third two were polished off a really good performance by Forest tonight.
And Forest's second goal, 83 minutes, coming from the goal machine, Ryan Yates, a new contract for him this week, and he's capped that off with yet another goal. 4-4 for him now. 6 in his last 11 games. And this one, again, he's in the right place. And it might have come off Rob Dickey, and it could go down as an own goal. But I think we can give this one to Yates, because it looks like it might be on target. And it does take a nick on the way through. But a crucial goal to make it 2-1 to Forest. And I think deserved as well, given the play in the build-up to it and how Forest were on top of that point. But again, great to see Yates on the score sheet. He really is becoming indispensable to this team.
Yeah, definitely. He's another one by each passing game. He seems to be improving. And I mean, in last season and start of this season, his efforts in front of goal was headers were hitting the crossbar or going wide, keeper saving them. But he seems to have worked on that, and he's been coming a real asset, because in previous seasons, our record from set pieces has been relatively poor. And in the last few games, the one against Sheffield United, the one tonight, he's really getting on the end of set pieces, and that's what's been lacking goal-wise for us in the last few seasons. But to him to add that to his game, it's just a real asset for the rest of the team.
And with his aerial threat, it just gives you another option, doesn't it? I mean, James Garner's delivery is unbelievable. It's in the last couple of months, it's really come on. And when you've then got Ryan Yates in the box, and then you've got other players, Joe Worrell, Scott McKenna, Steve Cook, who can all threaten in the air, it's nice to have that option, isn't it? That if things are not quite working out with how you want to play, you've got you can put the ball in the box, and somebody like Yates is going to attack it, and there's a good chance a header's going to go on target and possibly goals from that as well.
Yeah. And another thing, this is, in my time watching Forest, this has got to be the best coach side I've seen, because if there is a flaw or a weakness in Forest play, which, like I said, in previous seasons, it's been set pieces, then Steve Cooper seems to have worked on that, and we're getting a reward for it. I mean, I know against Leicester, they've all season they've been notorious of letting set pieces in. They let one in the other day against Leicester. And but so you can't really say that was like a good point, really, because they've been notorious all season. But against other teams this season in the championship, we haven't been that great. But in recent weeks, we've been brilliant with set pieces. It just, like you said, it just gives us another asset if nothing else is going right for us on the field. At least we've got like set pieces which we can rely on, and thankfully in the last couple of weeks it's paid dividends of like working on them, which has been obvious on the training ground.
And 4 minutes after Yates scored, Forest made it 3-1 and wrapped up the 3 points. This one, and I thought it was a nicely worked goal because it's Sam Surridge down the right hand side. He puts lovely ball across for Cafu. Both of those players had come on as substitutes, and it's good to see, a bit like on the weekend when Zande Silva and Surridge linked up for the fourth goal. Surridge is involved tonight, and Cafu's involved as well in this one. But Cafu's shot saved by Marshall. Cafu then gets the ball back and rolls it just inside for Brennan Johnson, who has been quiet in the last few games, and a few fans have been commenting on that. But he takes that first time, drills it into the back of the net, and looking at the way that he ran off in front of the Trent Denham main stand, he really enjoyed that one, didn't he?
Yeah, and it just like just capped off a really perfect night for us. But looking at the back, it looked like Marshall. Like, I know he was on the verge of before that of coming off injured, and he did eventually go off injured after the third goal. But yeah, as soon as he saved that one, it just looked like he gave up. Like, it was just inevitable that Forest were going to score that third goal, which they duly did. And then he went off injured, which was quite amusing because of obviously his links with our friends down the 52. But no, just, yeah, like you said, Brendan Johnson, he's been a bit quiet in the last few games, but no, capped off a really good night for us and well-deserved 3 points.
I think one of the key elements in the game was, and an element that was making it quite frustrating, QPR players were very keen to stick a foot in, to haul shirts, pull down Forest players and leave a mark on the Forest team, especially in the midfield. And I mean, this is obviously a Mark Warburton team, ex-Forest manager who, you know, a couple of years ago was in charge at the City Ground. Remember him well. But I don't remember his Forest team being as kind of scrappy and as physical as that. Certainly, they were always accused of having quite a soft underbelly, but it was getting frustrating tonight because a lot of niggly fouls and things that were disrupting Forest were initially being let go, weren't they? And it was getting annoying.
Yeah, this is my criticism with referees, but especially EFL referees. But tonight was John Moss from the Premier League, and he was very iffy tonight. It was like, sometimes Forrest wanted to play a quick free kick and he wanted it on a certain blade of grass. There was a couple of occasions where they just wanted high players down, like you've mentioned. He did this thing about following them and pointing them to them, says, I've seen that, but nothing happens. Then we I think Davis and Garner, I think somebody else, have made genuine attempts to get the ball and get booked for it. But every time Spence has gone down the wing, or Garner or Colback on the other side, they just wanted to hack us down and nothing was said. And it's referees being consistently inconsistent with their decision making. And yeah, John Moss was poor again tonight. And I just hope that the game on Sunday isn't spoiled by a referee who thinks it's all about him. We know it's going to be equally tough against Liverpool, so we don't want any other. We don't want to be handicapped in any other way in regards to poor officiating. But it's just referees, just in general. I just think they're relatively poor. And you think referees from the continent are a bit better than, you had that referee last night in the Atletico Madrid Man U game who for like a 5-10 minute spell he like was just pointing at anything, and he was like just kind of lost in the moment. So yeah, referees are just an absolute sticky point at the moment for me and probably loads of others out there. So, but no, John Moss was relatively poor tonight, but thankfully we overcome that and won and got the 3 points.
Well, VAR's making its City Ground debut on Sunday, isn't it? So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Regarding that, I might be wrong here, but we played Stoke in the Carabao Cup a few years ago, and Diego, was it, remember Diego Calvez?
Yeah.
Did he get sent off, and somebody, was it that a VAR or something called fourth official intervened there to get him sent off?
It might, yeah, there might have been some kind of, yeah, video replay or something that was used, yeah.
And we got done with VAR, if you remember, in the Chelsea game. I think if that was at the City Ground, we'd have had a couple of penalties against Chelsea and we didn't lost the game. So hopefully VAR can be relatively quiet for us on Sunday and may the best team win.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But I thought tonight Forrest did deal with that frustration well. It would have been very easy to lash out and lose your composure when you're being pulled down and disrupted and halted in your attacks in that way. But Forrest just carried on playing their football and kept going. And that was a big reason why they got on top and QPR didn't really get a look in. You mentioned earlier that how well coached this Forest team is. Steve Cooper tonight said that he was really happy with the team's bravery and the quality that they showed on the ball. And I think that's a good way of putting it. It was a brave performance in many ways, because we've seen Forest teams in the past, a big game like this, you could almost call it a playoff 6 pointer, given how close the teams are and given that QPR are a little bit ahead of Forest in the playoff race. Going a goal down to a rival like that, previous Forest teams might well have crumbled or just gone into their shell and not had the confidence to come out and try and win the game at that point. But this Forest team's a completely different animal, isn't it? There's no going into their shells. There's a real confidence about them that they can overturn a deficit and against anybody, even the best teams in the division.
With the bravery, there's like players who are brave with possession. There was one occasion, it was in the second half at the far end between in front of the main stand and the Trent end. And they were just like popping it around, like one touch to get out of like a really tight situation. And Forrest have been brilliant at that. And you got like players now who are willing to like take a couple of risks with the ball when they're playing it around the back. And people around me are still like, oh, just get the ball forward. And football's a lot more complex than that. And I'm like thinking, I'm enjoying watching this.
Yeah.
Because players have got that confidence, like Horvats will have the ball, then you'll play it in front of him to McKenna, or if Yates or Garner's come deep, and they're like pinging it around. And before you know it, we're on the front foot and we've got their centre-halves facing their own goal. And I've not seen a Forest side move the ball and recycle the ball that quick and like turn the possession from 1 minute they're on the edge of their 18-yard box, and then next minute they're getting their central house running against their own goal. I will say that this is the best coach Forest side I've ever seen, and that's all down to Steve Cooper and his staff. He's been an absolute revelation since he's come through the door.
And it's how a lot of teams play in the modern era, successful teams as well, with that ability to play from the back and turn teams around. And I would argue we're probably the best team in the division at turning teams around and getting them, catching them on the attack like that. Another thing as well, an important part of our game and something we did well tonight, our pressing, really good. Didn't allow QPR to to come out of their half in the second 45. And Forest held good positions and pressed well across the pitch, everybody playing their part in that. And I think that was another aspect of how we wore them down and got on top. And again, I think it's just you're seeing Forest play a very modern style of football under Steve Cooper, and it's really enjoyable to see.
Yeah, and I don't want to go back, but if you look at what Steve Cooper says in the press and what the players say in the press, compared that to under Chris Hughton, where he was like, "Oh, we've got to respect them and do this," and it's like, to be honest, it's a load of crap, really, because you just like playing into their hands. And Steve Cooper's come in and he's like, "No, we're going to do this," and he's instilled that confidence into the players, and we're seeing that on the on a pitch week in, week out. We're buying into that, and look at the difference between the atmosphere from like back end of like last season coming into this season, and then the Steve Cooper effect. I mean, like I said, it's chalk cheese, and everybody's buying into it. And I've never seen a football club, well, I've never seen Forest fans buying into this football club as a collective, a way we're doing now. And like even at the end, it's like in the past, even though we might have been like a couple of goals up, people like leaving early, but there's still like 27,000 in there tonight sing along to Depeche Mode's Just Can't Get Enough. And everybody wants to stay, everybody's part of it until the bitter end, and they won't leave until they've seen the fist pumps from Steve Cooper after he's like obviously embraced the players who have got him the 3 points. And that's never happened under any manager since I've been supporting the club, and it's just a brilliant place to be at the moment. And I'll just Sunday and the games after Sunday, it's just a brilliant place at the moment.
Yeah, there's a real bond developing, isn't there, between the team and the supporters. And it's something quite special to see, because, it's not something that you've witnessed at Forest probably for, I say it, since the Cluffy era.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't around for I wasn't old enough to really appreciate the Cluffy era. But even under like Paul Hart, it was kind of, we had nothing else in terms of, we had to rely on those players because we didn't have the money to buy a load of players. So we had to rely on the youth and just embrace them, because obviously we didn't have anything else. And Billy Davis, it was just like, it was good, but you just know that he was just one press conference away of like chucking a grenade in and just cocking the whole thing up.
Yeah.
And ultimately that what happened in the second spell with his radio silent persona, which was bizarre. But no, the first time around, it was like, even in the playoff matches, he just said some really strange things. Like he had like a post-match press conference before the match, and just really bizarre things. And just like, well, why are you doing that? But Steve Cooper is just like, he just embraces it. He gets the football club, and he's got everybody on side. And yeah. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but build that statue now.
A quick word for some of the Forest players tonight. Keenan Davis, again, I thought was really good. Even though he didn't get his goal, his link-up play and his movement power that, you know, we've talked about before, he was a real handful again for that QPR defence. Ryan Yates, another strong performance and got his goal. Jed Spence, well, he's just next level. He's unbelievable. I think we've just got to enjoy him while he's here and really make the most of that. And the back three on the whole, largely solid. Scott McKenna came off 79 minutes and was replaced by Joe Lolley as Forrest went to a more attacking formation. I thought Lolley looked quite lively when he came on. What did you think?
I don't know if it's I don't want to like be disrespectful towards him. I don't know if it's the fact that Keeper was knackered and obviously he was fresh and everything, but even when he came on against Sheffield United, he looks pretty decent. And if he can get back to a level of fitness and match sharpness from previous years, then Joe Lolley's an asset. But Steve Cooper's alluded to in the press that it's all down to Joe Lolley now. We'll give him all the support that he needs, whether that's believing in his own abilities, confidence, fitness. We won't get to know the nitty-gritty of it. But if Joe Lolley can get to the levels what he where he was a few years ago, then he's going to be a real asset in the next few months of this remaining of the season. But no, just got to keep fit. And yeah, I thought he looked pretty sharp tonight.
And I think a benefit for him is that he's not coming back into the team with massive expectation on his shoulders, because other players are stepping up and delivering in terms of goals and assists, whether it's Brennan Johnson or Keenan Davis, Nkengolo. And then there's also Mighton, who is also available. Zande Silva's another one who can play in the same position. So it could be a good situation for Lolly to walk into, with a confident team playing well and on the front foot. But he's not going to be relied upon to get goals and be that creative output that he perhaps has been in previous Forest sides. So hopefully that just allows him to come in and play his game, and yeah, we start seeing a bit more of the Joe Lolly of old, fingers crossed. So Forest then, as it stands, a point away from the playoffs, and they're eighth in the Championship. It is very much all to play for in terms of league position, and it's so tight between Huddersfield in third and Millwall in 10th. There's only 6 points separating all those teams. But next up for Forest, it's the FA Cup quarterfinal against Liverpool on Sunday evening. And I think this one, Tom, we're all just looking forward to it, aren't we? We've got a Forest team in superb form, confident and playing with a real belief in themselves. And we all know how good Liverpool are. It'll be great to see a team of their quality at the City Ground. But Forest have got every chance, haven't they, just having a go at them and really making a game of it.
Yeah, and why in the FA Cup, and especially the latter stages, you've got as good a chance as anybody, because Liverpool could turn up and ultimately underestimate Forest, and Forest might do something like they did against Arsenal and Leicester and never know, get a result. We all know it's going to be really tough. I mean, they're like, in previous seasons, have won Champions League, they've been in, got in for Premier League titles and everything, and they've got like probably the best front players in world football at the moment in Jota, Mane and Salah. But no, like I said, it's home, and we've got as much chance as anybody in my eyes, but Forest have got to be really on it, and obviously and a bit more. But you just don't know which side Liverpool might fit, bring, because they've already won the Carabao Cup. They've in the Champions League, I think they're at the quarterfinal stage now. They've got important game coming up. I think it's the 10th of April against Man City. So you just don't know what team they might. They might play the kids and just have the insurance of Jota, Firmino, Mane and Salah on the bench. You just don't know, but it's going to be a great occasion, and I, for one, can't wait.
And it's a big fixture, and there seems to be quite a few of those coming up now for Forest. And it's a first FA Cup quarterfinal and a first quarterfinal of any kind for Forest for 25 years. So I think it's an occasion, let's enjoy it, but also have a go and feel confident, because you've already knocked two Premier League teams out in Arsenal and Leicester. And if you could get past Liverpool and a semi-final date at Wembley, that'll be an incredible occasion and something really special. And it's nice to see Forest in these kind of high-profile games once again, isn't it? It's been a really long time.
Yeah, it's been so long. I mean, the last couple of quarterfinals that we've actually had was, like you say, 96. When we lost 7-2 on aggregate to Bayern Munich, who eventually won the UEFA Cup that year against Bordeaux. And then I can't remember if it was before that game or after, but we played Villa at the City Ground and lost 1-0 from a Franz Carr goal. But yeah, it's been so long for us to be this far in a domestic competition. And yeah, I just can't wait. And like I said, the last time Forest were in a quarterfinal, I was 8. So it's a long time, and I'm 34 now. So yeah, 26 years is a long, long time.
We're all looking forward to it, and fingers crossed it could be a night to remember for Forest and their fans. It could really be something special. We look forward to it.
I will go with a 2-1 Ryan Yates 93rd minute header.
Yeah, I think we'll all take that.
Yeah.
After that is the international break, and then Forest are back in action away at Blackpool on the 2nd of April, and then it's a home game against Coventry a few days after that. So, yeah, it's great to be playing Liverpool, but then we've also got a little bit of a break to recover and come back for essentially what will be the run-in and a big final 9 or 10 games of the season.
And it'd be nice, because after the international break, Grabbing will be near enough ready, and that's you got like 3 informed strikers, so to speak, in terms of Davis, Surridge, and then you got Grabban, who obviously is a seasoned forward in this league, so he's a great asset. Then behind them, you've got Lowe and Steve Cook to come back, because obviously with the international break in this week, well, that's 3. Yeah. That's 3 weeks near enough gone with the six week period. What Steve Cooper says, that they'd be out, and you never know. I mean, I think Max Lowe returned last time from injury ahead of schedule, so hopefully that'd be the case this time. But you know, this after Sunday, I mean, the international break, it's coming to a good side, a good time for us. But yeah, on the opposite of that, it's like, because we've got a bit of momentum, I hope it doesn't derail that, but it is what it is at the end of the day.
Yeah, there's always that risk, but it promises to be an exciting end to the season, and definitely we look forward to it and see how it plays out after the international games are over. Thanks, Tom, and thank you to listener for joining us for our match reports. We will be back with you after the Liverpool game on Sunday with our report from that one. So until next time, goodbye and thanks for listening.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.